I just want to read this to you before we get going here this evening. It's John chapter 14, verse 12. Jesus himself says, "Most assuredly I say to you," somebody say me. Somebody say me. "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me," any believers in the house tonight?
Amen.
"He who believes in me," he's talking to you, "he who believes in me, the works that I do, he," or you, "will do also." What did Jesus do? He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He healed the blinded eyes. He opened deaf ears. He brought the dead back to life. Amen. He met needs everywhere he went. We talked about the power of generosity on Sunday. He said, "The works that I do, he," somebody say, "That's me."
It's me.
"He will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father." Jesus said, "When he went up, we would too." Verse 13, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything," somebody say anything. "If you ask anything in my name," what name is that? Name of Jesus. "I will do it." That builds your faith, doesn't it? That builds your faith.
Yeah.
Amen. So tonight, we have a very special guest in service with us, and somebody I'm thrilled for most of you to meet for the first time. He was with us several years ago. His name is Brian Wills, and he's the founder of Healing for the Nations. He also, can I borrow your book, Brian? He's going to talk about it too, but y'all have seen this book in our bookstore, 10 Hours to Live, and it is an incredible story of his personal testimony and how God's healed him and touched his body. And we use that many, many times over and over when we meet people who have terminal illnesses and any type of hopeless situation where the doctors have said there's nothing we can do for you. And his story is incredible and just breathes hope into people's lives. We love Brian so much and believe in him and his ministry. And I'm going to get out of the way because he's got plenty to say I want you to hear tonight. Would y'all just give him a big victory welcome tonight?
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, can we give it up for Jesus?
Amen.
Yeah. Let's give it up for Jesus in the house. Hallelujah. How many of y'all love Jesus tonight? Well, how many of you know that we serve a supernatural God? We serve a God that hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I love what Pastor Josh Reddy said, that believers, how many believers are in the house? Believers shall do the same works that Jesus did. Well, if you're a believer, then you're a believer. You know, and so I'm so glad to be with you guys tonight. And you know, I've been just looking forward to this opportunity to come before you. And you know, God's done so many wonderful things in my own life, and I know he's done things in your life as well. And so tonight I'm going to share some things that God is doing and God's wanting to do in the church. How many of y'all believe that God's drawing you to a higher place, to a deeper place, to a greater place in him? And, you know, I just get the privilege of being able to go around the world and tell people good news. You know, and that's what the gospel is all about. It's telling people good news and the good news of Jesus Christ. And so I've been in about 40 nations now, and I feel like I'm just getting started. And but I just want to, first of all, just thank Pastor Josh and thank this church. You know, I just commend all of you for what you've been able to accomplish here in Troy, Pennsylvania, and how this church is just reaching out to the communities. And God has just drawn so many wonderful people to this place. And, I mean, this is a move of God right here. So let's just give it up for Jesus one more time tonight. Let's just thank the Lord. Give him praise and honor. Just turn to the person next to you and just say this to them. Say, "You're strong." Come on, say, "You're strong." "You're smart." "You're blessed." "You're good looking." "And you're a major blessing." Amen. Let's give it up one more time for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I want you to turn your Bibles tonight, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, there are a lot of places I go, people forgot to bring their Bibles to church. And, you know, I don't mind if you have a Bible with, you know, whether it's with the technology that we have or whether it's pages, but let me know that as Christians, we ought to covet, we ought to really just acknowledge our Bible as the Word of God. Are y'all with me tonight?
Yes.
And so it's just amazing now that we go places, and thank God for technology. Thank God that we can look on a screen like this and just have these wonderful things. But tonight I want to just kind of stir some things up in you. And we're going to start off in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, one of my favorite passages of Scripture. How many know that preachers also have their favorite passages of Scripture? And 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's just kind of look at it tonight. Paul writes this, and he says, "For I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ." How many know that Jesus Christ is number one? "For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. In my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith," everybody say, "that my faith, should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." Let's all say that together again. "That my faith," everybody say, "my faith," "would not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You know, one of the things that God is doing right now around the world is that He's raising the level of utterance. In other words, the gospel is being proclaimed 24/7 around the world like never before. Now, the reason why that's so significant is because we know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're on the brink of seeing such a, not just a revival in our nation, but a worldwide revival because of the amount of Bible and preaching and utterance that's being proclaimed and going forth around the world. You know, I was in Costa Rica just last week, and and I'm sowing in that nation because they've never seen a revival. They've never had a move of God in their entire history. And so I'm doing a lot of meetings there, bringing pastors together, doing different conferences and different things. And I was amazed, though, when I went to one of the larger churches in on a Saturday. Everybody say, on a Saturday. They were having full-blown Bible school for children. Now, I've observed this. This is happening all through Central and South America for the last 10 or 15 years. They're not having Sunday school. They're having Bible school all the way down to the toddler age. And it was about 1:30 in the afternoon on a Saturday, and there were groups, like cell groups, all over the church, inside the church, outside the church grounds, everywhere you could look. People were studying the Word of God. Kids at every age were learning God's Word. And I said to myself, wow, this is a Saturday. And the pastor said, yeah, it's 1:30, and they started about 8:30 this morning. And what I've observed is that as I travel, and especially Central and South America, entire Saturdays are filled with Bible school, where kids are literally going to have receiving the same kind of word, only broken down to their level. And it's not a Sunday school. It's not a playtime. It's not a babysitting service. It's literally a Bible school where they're being trained and taught. And I said, wow, if we could only see that same thing happen in America. Come on now. Yeah. Let me know that on Saturdays we're trying to go to the river, or we're trying to hunt or fish, or we're trying to, you know, we got our sports or activities and different things. But, you know, regardless of all that, when you look at what's happening globally, there's an increase in the level of the gospel, in the level of teaching, come on now, in the level of preaching. And I tell you what, this is going to bring in a last move of God like we've never seen before. Can we give it up for Jesus tonight? Yeah. Hallelujah. But it's almost like in America, we need to get back to the basics. I have to remind people in this country that we serve a supernatural God. You know, people know that they should be a moral Christian, but they don't understand that God intended us for to be supernatural Christians. God never created us to live ordinary lives. He created us to live extraordinary. You know, because God lives inside of us, and He created us to do supernatural things. You know, I was on a plane a couple years ago, and I sat next to this lady, and we were talking about different religions, different gods, so to speak. And so I talked to her about Jesus. And she turned to me and she said, "Well, what makes you think that your God is the one true God?" I said, "The reason I know that Jesus is the one true God is because it's all about change. It's all about change. He's the only one that can change a person from the inside out. He's the only one that can take someone like myself that was full of cancer and completely deliver them, come on now, heal them and set them free. He's the only one that can take someone who's been addicted to drugs and over and over had just a lousy and miserable lifestyle and just like that change them from the inside out, set them free, make them a new person, a new creature in Christ Jesus." See, the reason I know that Jesus is who He says He is because it's about change. And everyone in this room, we've experienced that change sometime in our life. And Paul said it this way, that our faith would not stand in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. I want to say tonight, I thank God for His power. I thank God He is omnipotent. I thank God that He is a supernatural God. Come on now. You know, and that He's done a work in my life. He's done amazing things. Go with me to Mark chapter 11, if you would. I want you to know tonight that there's nothing that God can't do and nothing that God won't do for you. You know, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer a little over 25 years ago. I'll never forget that day. The doctor walked in my room, said, "I've got bad news to tell you. You've got a terminal, incurable cancer. This is the fastest growing cancer known to man. It kills babies within an hour. This type of cancer, the tumors double every 4 hours. And I was given initially 2 weeks or less to live. And the doctor said, "Oh, by the way, just so you know, you're in stage 4B. You're in the last stages of this type of cancer. And by the way, anyone who's ever reached this type of stage or had this type of diagnosis, there have been no survivors." And I said, "Well, there always has to be the first."
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Right. We just sang tonight, nothing is impossible with God. And that's when I opened up my Bible and I began to say, "Okay, God, I know You as Savior, but it's time to know You as Healer." You know, and I began to dig deep in all the scripture verses. I began to find out all that I could find out about healing. And I began to go after it like a dog with a bone, and I began to just take those scripture verses and just put them on my hospital walls. You know, I was taken to one of the top hospitals in the United States, and by the time I arrived there, I had a tumor the size of a basketball. It had grown in 72 hours, a tumor the size of a basketball. It looked like I was pregnant. The cancer had spread into my lungs, was spreading to my brain. My kidneys stopped functioning. The other organs had beginning to stop functioning. So when I arrived there, I was in a fetal position at the National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. The doctors looked at me, examined me. They said, "There's absolutely no cure. There's no hope for this." So I was placed on the 13th floor. The 13th floor is known as the death ward. It's where all the incurables go. And so I was placed there, and they just said, "Hey," they told my parents, "look, it's Tuesday morning. Your son will not be alive by Friday. Go ahead and make the funeral arrangements." But we began to get hold of the Word of God, which is the truth. We believe God's report over any other report. And I took hold of the scripture verses, and I began to say Psalm 118, verse 17, "I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord." Come on now. We begin to say Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. Bless the Lord. Come on now. Can we bless him tonight? And let's remember his benefits. Glory to God. And so I begin to say those scripture verses just over and over and over. And then I begin to speak to that cancer. I mean, Jesus said to speak to the mountain. Whoever would say to the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, would not doubt in his heart those things that he says, but he would believe those things that he says would come to pass. What? He shall have whatever he says. And I begin to say, cancer, in Jesus' name, I command you to die. I command you to leave my body in the name of Jesus. Now, that was new for me. I'd never done something like that before, but I just believe the words that Jesus said. How many of y'all believe what Jesus said tonight? Amen. You know, if we do things Jesus' way, we'll get Jesus' results. Right. It's that easy. And so I just begin to take hold of God's word, put my faith in God's word, but also I just believe that the words that I was speaking, that God was going to honor that word, and that word would produce fruit and produce a harvest in my life. Amen. And so I was in there on the 13th floor, and then all of a sudden the psychologist came in and they said, well, how are you coping with this? You know, have you made the funeral arrangements? And I said, well, this is how I'm coping right here. And you wanna really know how I'm coping? Well, it's written in my medical journals today that I had psychological problems. Because all I would do was just confess scripture verses over and over. Well, how many know that his word is life and health and medicine to all of our flesh? Amen? So the psychologist gave up after a few weeks, and then they sent in a new batch of psychologists, and these guys were raring to go, you know, and they got in my face and said, look, you know, son, you're going to die. You're not going to make it. I said, no, I will not die. I shall live and declare the works of the Lord. Yeah. Whose report do you believe? Amen. I want you to look with me here in Mark chapter 11. I love this chapter. It talks about having the God kind of faith, having faith in God. And, you know, there's so much that we could pull from this, but instead of looking at Mark 11, 23 and 24, I want you to look just prior to that in Mark 11, let's begin in verse number 13. Jesus is with his disciples, and they see a fig tree from afar off, and Jesus says, and seeing a fig tree, and seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the reason for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. Notice that. What did Jesus do? He spoke to the fig tree. He said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Now skip down to verse 20. It says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. Now we know that when Jesus walked in the earth, he walked with authority. In fact, people around him were amazed at the words that proceeded out of his mouth because those words carried authority, didn't they? But I like this story because, first of all, he comes to a fig tree, and what does he do? Did you know that you can speak to fig trees? He spoke to the fig tree, and he said what? Let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. And then the next day, what happens? Peter's coming by there, and what does Peter do? He's like, oh, whoa, hey, look at this, Jesus, the fig tree that you cursed has what? Withered away. Now, why would Peter be so surprised that the fig tree was cursed? Why would Jesus not be surprised? Now, how many of you have ever been speaking to something before? Come on. Let's admit it. Let's be honest tonight. You were saying something and saying something and saying something, but you didn't see anything immediate. Now, what I'm here to tell you tonight is that I believe the reason why Jesus got results is that not only did he have faith in the Word of God, faith in the words that he spoke, but he also had faith in the power of God to back up the Word of God. Are you here tonight? And see, we have a lot of people that are using the Word, and they're using the Word, and they're speaking God's Word, but it's almost become to the point where they're not really sure that anything is happening, or they're not really sure that something is going to happen. But see, Jesus got these results because he not only had faith in the Word of God, but he had faith in the power of God to back up the Word of God. So if there's something that we need to learn tonight is that we should put our faith not only in God's Word, but in the power to back it up. When I was speaking to that cancer in my body, at first it seemed, you know, something that I was unfamiliar with. But the more that I did it, the more that I did it, the more that I did it, then I became more convinced and more confident, and I began to almost begin to see on the inside. I began to see that tumor leaving my body. And I just was believing every time I spoke that God's power was going forth into my body to change my body. You know, I had an aunt one time about 12 years ago. She was going in for surgery, and the doctors didn't know what they were going to find. And I went and I was praying with her, and I said, "No, Aunt so-and-so, I know you go to this type of church, and I want to pray for you, but I'm going to pray a little bit different way than what you're used to." And she said, "Well, that's fine." I said, "I'm not going to pray if it be thy will, but I'm going to speak to the mountain. I'm going to command whatever is in your body, I'm going to command it to die in Jesus' name." She said, "Okay." And so I did. We prayed, and I spoke to whatever was going on in her system, in her body. And, you know, she went into surgery a few days later. They expected the surgery to be 6 or 8 hours. And 45 minutes later, the surgeon came out, and he looked like he was, you know, wide-eyed and white as a ghost. He was like, "Man, I've never seen anything like this." He said, "We literally opened her up, and a 13-pound tumor rolled out like a bowling ball on the table there. And it had died. It was completely dead." The surgeon said, "I have never in all my life seen something like this." And he said, "You know, we looked around, checked her organs. She's going to be fine." And you know what? She's been fine ever since. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, when each one of us, when we got born again, when we got saved, we put our faith in God's Word. We heard the Word. We accepted Christ. Jesus came into our life. But few of us know how that transaction would play out. And the Scripture says this, that at that moment we were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of light. In other words, the power of God is always involved when we start believing God for things. You know, I was in a service just a few weeks ago. There was a woman who was blind. I mean, I put my hand in front of her face. She could not see at all. I prayed for her, and she just said, "I believe I receive. I just thank you, Lord, that I can see." She sat down in the front row, and within a few minutes, she all of a sudden said, "Hey, I can begin to see some light." And she said, I'm thanking God. I just thank God that I receive." And so she was just stayed hooked up there. She just kept thanking the Lord. A few minutes later, she said, "Ah, wow, I can see shadows." All of a sudden, the church people, they begin to take notice of this. They're starting to get excited, you know. And she's just thanking God that that by Jesus' stripes she's healed and that she can see, that her eyes can see. A few minutes later, she says, oh, wow, I can see outlines of people. She said, I see this little boy here, and over there I see this woman. And so people started getting excited, you know, because her eyesight, was being restored. And just a few minutes after that, it took about 20 or so minutes. All of a sudden, she began to see depth. She saw the person back at the back and the sound person. And finally, she got her entire eyesight back, and she said, I can see, I can see, I can see. In that same service, there was a woman that had been in a wheelchair for 12 years, never had walked. Never had walked in 12 years. The whole church knew her. The power of God hit her body. She stood up and she I thought she was going to fall at first, but man, the power of God strengthened her feet, and then she began to take a few steps, and there she went. She went around the church, and the place went wild. Hallelujah. See, we need not only have faith in the Word of God, but faith in the power of God. Come on now. There is absolutely nothing that God can't do and nothing that God won't do for any of us. There's one thing that I discovered a long time ago. It's just really simple. God is way bigger than my problems. Just when I think that I've got something, you know, that's really tough, I just go back to the real simple truth. You know what? God is bigger than anything that I'm going through. God is bigger than anything that I face. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about tonight? Go in your Bible to Psalm 78 for just a minute. You know, in Psalm 78, it's really a record of all that God did for the nation of Israel, how he brought them through. The Bible says that they came out of Egypt. He brought them forth with silver and gold. There was not one feeble, not one sick among their tribes. And in Psalm 78, verse 12, it says this. I'm going to kind of skim through it. It says, marvelous things he did in the sight of their fathers. Verse 13, he divided the sea and caused them to cross through. He made the waters stand up like a heap. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. He split the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink in abundance like the depths. He brought streams out of the rock. I mean, this whole psalm is full of all the things that God did for the people. Now, can you imagine being back there, you know, where literally God's presence was with you 24/7, where God provided food every day, he provided water every day? I mean, how many of y'all would like that? I mean, they walked with God. He led them. I mean, he was visible with them. You know, I mean, it sounds like a good... And so he was with them 24/7. Not only that, but he had already brought them out of Egypt. They were rich. They were prosperous. They were healed. But then it says in verse number 19, it says, yes, they spoke against God, and they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? Behold, he struck the rocks, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? You know, the scripture says that these things are written as examples for us. And I realize if we're not careful, we'll forget all the great things that God has brought us out of. Come on, church. We'll forget the great things, the awesome things that God has done in our life. You know, I have traveled the world. I have seen so many amazing miracles. I've seen people in prison get healed and cause an incredible, you know, prison revivals. I've been part of seeing hospital cancer wards cleaned out, taking people from Bible school and just training them and just releasing them into those places. And we've seen cancer wards cleaned out and where people were dismissed from the hospital just within a few minutes. And I mean, we just were out in the parking lot of the hospital just rejoicing, just thanking God for what he did. I mean, just some amazing, amazing miracles. And, you know, we're talking tonight about the power of God. I've seen that power. I've seen bones crack. I've seen legs grow. I mean, I've seen blind eyes, and I mean, I could just tell you so many wonderful things. But, you know, I remember just about a year and a half ago, my daughter was going through something, and she was trying to make some decisions that would determine her future. How many know, as parents, you love and care for your kids? You know, when your kids are going through things, or when your kids are trying to make some lifelong decisions and choices, you know, you care every bit for what they're going through and what decisions that they make. And so my daughter at the time was trying to make a decision, you know, where she was going to go to college. And my wife and I felt like there was a certain place that she was supposed to be, and that was the will of God for her. But my daughter would get with her friends, and her friends would all of a sudden just kind of pull her a totally different direction. And then my daughter would come back to us, and we talked to her, and she said, "Yeah, I know that I have a piece about what you're saying. I know that's what I should do." But then every time she'd get with her friends would pull her a different direction, and they said, "Yeah, but you've got talent in this. You should be doing this." And then after a while, they kept saying, "Well, you know, your parents don't really know what you should be doing. I mean, after all, you can make your own decisions, your own choices." And then all of a sudden, I began to feel that struggle. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about? And so we kept trying to pray and work and with our daughter and talk to her. And then she'd get with her friends, and she just kept being pulled away. And we're like, my wife and I, we kept praying for the situation because, you know, we didn't want her to make a bad choice or bad decision because it could cost her several years of her life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We knew it was a critical decision. And so I found myself in that situation, especially after her friends kept pulling her away and pulling her away and pulling her away and then beginning to kind of drive a wedge between us and her. I found myself wanted to do something about it. I mean, y'all know what I'm talking about. I found myself wanting to get involved in the situation and kind of go to her friends and lay hands on them suddenly. And as I wanted to do that, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit began to speak to my heart. And the Holy Spirit said, just like this, he said, "Brian, do you have faith in my power? Do you have faith in my ability to work in her life and in the situation?" And I realized at that moment, I had been praying for her. I thought I was doing all the right things for her. But I realized that I had put faith in the power of God always for physical miracles. But I had never put my faith in the power of God to work in situations that involved my children and their future decisions and relationships. And it was like one of those rhema moments, you know, where you go, "Yeah, God, I believe in your power and in your ability to work in my daughter's life." Amen. See, what I'm saying tonight is that the power of God is for every area of our life. Sometimes we limit it to one area, or sometimes we hear about God's power being over there in Africa, or God's power raising someone from the dead, or something tremendous like that. But see, the whole reason why we have the power of God is for change. And it's for any situation that we're going through, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whether it's financial, or relational. I mean, how many of y'all know we're into these Christmas holidays? How many of y'all believing for family members to get saved? How many of y'all believing for relationships to be restored? Come on now. I mean, there is no better opportunity than this season to tell other people about Jesus and to be a light for the gospel. But I don't know about you, but there are things that I'm still believing for, things that I've been trusting God for. But tonight, what I'm saying is this, we can put our faith in not only the Word of God, but in the power of God. How many know the power of God can get you out of debt? The power of God can move in relationships. You know, I thank God because my daughter right now is where she should be. I had another daughter that had gone through a really bad situation as well. It's like the Lord's like, hey, you didn't get it the first time, so let me give you another one. And she had been bullied in school for a couple years, and she would come home and she'd cry and cry and just, she said, I can't stand school. I just don't want to go back to school. Those kids are so mean and everything. And we were praying for her. We were working with her. We were encouraging her. And so one day, the Lord just said to me, hey, Brian, just trust me. Just trust me for the situation. Hey, that's a concept, right? Just trust the Lord. What did Paul say? Don't put your faith in human wisdom. How many know that our wisdom is limited? Put your faith in the power of God. And so we begin to put our faith in the power of God to change the situation. Well, I don't have enough time tonight because it literally overnight in one day, my daughter was completely changed. In one day, God gave my daughter an idea on the internet. She started a business, and in 3 weeks, it launched into 30 nations of the world. Not only that, but all of a sudden, those kids that were against her at school, all of a sudden accepted her. And she's been winning one award after the other. And she has a company on the internet. They want to put her on 17 Magazine. There's a company that wants to buy her out just in 16 months now. Now, I'm saying that When you put your trust in the Lord, I mean, God can do more for you in 5 minutes than you can do for yourself in a lifetime. Yes. One word from God can change your life. Amen? Go in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 2 for a minute. So what I'm saying to you tonight is let's get away from our own ability. Sometimes we focus on ourselves. Sometimes we focus on our wisdom, on what we can do in the situation. But what God is saying, hey, let's believe me. Let's put your trust, put your faith in my power. How many know that greater is his power, greater is his ability. He can do more for us in a nanosecond than we can do for ourselves in a lifetime. I want you to notice this in 2 Kings chapter 2. There's a story in the Old Testament. Most of us know it. It's about Elisha and Elijah. Y'all remember that story? How Elisha was following Elijah? Y'all remember that story? And Elisha wanted what? He wanted a double portion. And Elijah said this. He said, if you see me go up in the whirlwind, then God will grant it to you. You'll get that double portion. And so let's just read the story, 2 Kings chapter 2, and verse 11. It says, then it happened as they continued on and talked that suddenly, everybody say suddenly, suddenly, a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. And so he saw him no more. And notice this, and he took hold, well, it says he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into pieces, but he goes on to say, he also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. What does that mantle represent? The mantle represents the power of God. It represents the anointing, doesn't it? I mean, you know that Elijah walked in the anointing, walked in a power of God. He had tremendous miracles. And Elisha says, hey, I want a double portion of that. How many of y'all would say, man, that's what I want to do. I want to do the same works that Jesus did in greater works. Well, so Elisha is following Elijah. And the first thing he does is once Elisha goes up, he says, he took hold of the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him. He went back and he stood by the bank of the Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen and he struck the water and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. All right, everybody look up here for just a minute. This is what Elisha did. Elisha's following Elijah. He's following him around. And finally the day comes. Elijah's taken up. What's the first thing he did? He went over. He took hold of that mantle. And he went to the Jordan River, and he stood at the brink, and he said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? I believe what Elisha was saying is, where is the power of God? Are you with me tonight? I believe we're living in a generation right now where people are crying out. People are hungry. People are passionate. They're saying, where is the power of God? Because I want to see the power of God. You know, we're living in a time where we can look back at the Smith Wigglesworths and the John G. Legs. We can look back at the healing revival of the 40s and 50s, where if you would just get in the atmosphere, you would be healed. I mean, thank God for the people that have gone before us in the past. But I'm telling you what, we're living in a new time. We're living in a new generation. The time is now to see the power of God in demonstration. You know, I just took a group from Penn State, students from Penn State to Ireland for 3 days. We were on the streets in Dublin for 3 days. Every person that we prayed for was instantly and totally healed. I'm telling you, we're living in time to see the power of God in demonstration. Come on now. Come on, church. It's time to see God's power in demonstration. You know, Brother Hagin said this. He said, there's coming a generation in the earth that will look like me, walk like me, talk like me, and act exactly like me. And that generation will usher in the last move of God. I remember the days in the 70s where the churches would be, they'd have on display the canes and the crutches on the walls of the church. We're coming into a time where we're not even going to be able to handle all the wheelchairs, all the canes, the crutches, because the power of God is going to be in such demonstration and in manifestation. I look forward to the times to see those war veterans that have come back from war with those amputees, where the power of God hits them, and they start to grow out new legs and new limbs. Creative miracles. Church, what I'm saying tonight is that God is bigger than anything that we face. I don't know what your situation is tonight, whether it's something physical, financial, relational. But I want you to know, let's put our faith in the power of God to change. Come on now. Have you know that God is way bigger than anything that we're going through. God is way bigger to handle it. God's power is bigger than cancer. God's power is bigger than heart disease. Come on now. God's power is bigger than paralysis. God's power is bigger than debt, than any relationship situation. God's power is way bigger than anything that we could ever face in life. Hallelujah. Let's all just lift up our hands in the place tonight. Father, we just thank you for your word tonight. You are bigger. You are El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. So, Father, tonight we put our faith in your ability, in your power. Greater are you in us than anything that's around us. Greater is the anointing here tonight than any sickness. Sickness is like a crumb. We just brush the crumb off. Father, we just thank you for your power tonight that's available and evident in the name of Jesus. If you're here tonight and you desire prayer, I want to invite you to come forward. Prayer for healing, prayer for a situation that you're going through. Just real quickly, I want you to jump up on your feet and just begin to make your way to the front. You come quickly. You come. Anybody that needs prayer tonight for any situation, God's power is here to meet that need. God's power is ready to be released into your life to bring change. And as you come, just lift up your hands tonight. Just worship him. You're not coming to receive from a man. You're coming to receive from the Lord. He is El Shaddai, the God who's more than enough. He is El Bigo. He is El Grande. Come on, he is big enough. He is way bigger than anything that we could face or go through in life. And he can handle it. He can handle it. So just say this. Say, Lord, tonight, I come before you. I put my trust in you. You're bigger than anything that I face. So, Lord, tonight, I step away from my own ability, from me trying to work things out and make this thing happen, because it's not up to me. And Lord, tonight, I put my full trust in you. You are my Savior. You are my healer. You're my provider. You're my everything. Thank you tonight for change. I won't leave the same. I'll never leave the same tonight. In Jesus' name. Now just yield to his Spirit tonight. Just yield as they play. Just yield. Just worship him tonight. Just worship him tonight. That's where your help comes from. And I'm just going to go down and lay my hands on each person real quickly. You just worship God and you just thank God for whatever you need in Jesus' name.